The GAA program with Tom Comack. Brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure, Station Roundabout, Letterkenny. Gear up for the next big game from the great range of clubwear at michaelmurphysports.ie.
Gee, I've got Falchuk and Clark coming look to us again. The Shocked in the Show with me, Tom Comack, as always with you on a Wednesday night until 9 o'clock. And, well, tonight we're going to reflect on Sunday's much heralded All Ireland Senior Championship Super 8 quarter final meeting of Donegal and Kerry in Croke Park. It ended in a draw, as everybody knows by now, 120 each. Michael Murphy tying up the game in injury time with a close in free. But a game that's been much talked about and, as I said, much heralded as well. We'll be joined by Brian McAniff and Barry O'Shea from Kerry, a former All-Ireland winning fullback with the Kingdom, to find out how the game was viewed down in the Kingdom and the reaction to that result. Of course, it means that, well, Donegal go into their last game needing a win down in Mayo if they are to qualify for the All-Ireland semi-final. Kerry on 4 points, obviously, or on 3 points as well as Donegal. They are away to Meath in Navan. A lot of people think that is a foregone conclusion. I'm sure Meath people will have other ideas. We'll be joined by Brian and Barry later in the programme. But Donegal Lady Footballers are in action this weekend again for the second weekend in a row. They're heading to the Midlands, and after last weekend's defeat, somewhat surprisingly so, by Tyrone in the first round, Maxi Curran and the ladies, well, they know exactly what they have to do this weekend. They have to beat Mayo in their clash down in Tullamore to qualify for the All-Ireland semi-final. So Donegal, as I say, heading off, and well, maybe not what certainly what they needed, but I spoke to Maxi Curran earlier this evening before he headed off to training to find out, well, how they're fixed ahead of the big clash with Mayo.
Well, Maxi, heading into your final game, I'm not sure if it was in the script or not, but that you would have hoped to qualify probably before going to face Mayo, but at least now you know what you have to do.
Yeah, look, had we won last week, we would have been through at this stage. But look, it is what it is. You know, we just didn't perform in the day. We didn't show up. Tyrone were the better team in the day. They were more clinical, made more of their scoring opportunities, and defended better than we did. And just have to take it on the chin. You know, I'd say we're probably fortunate in that we have the chance to make amends for it. If we win the game on Saturday by the requisite 4 points, we'll still top the group. So, you know, Saturday then becomes pretty irrelevant. I suppose it's a complicated one for the mathematicians, but for us in our heads, it's very clear we've got to win by 4 points or our season's over.
Yeah. And just reflecting back on last Saturday's defeat by Tyrone, what was it? Was it a case of maybe complacency setting in, or maybe was it the maybe 3 week break?
Yeah, look, you can probably look at a lot of those factors, and you know, when the scapegoaters will always find reasons why you were beat. You know, we can bemoan the bad luck. They got three very lucky goals. They definitely got the rub of the green with some of the refereeing decisions. They definitely got the 50-50s. But look, at the end of the day, you know, we're not interested in any of that. You know, we had 16 scoring opportunities, you know, that went wide or short, and that was the reason we were beat. We had only a 40%. Scoring return for our shooting chances, and that's also ultimately the reason. You know, we had 12 scores and 30 shots. I think Tyrone had 15 scores and from 25 shots, and that's the difference. That's why we're beaten. You know, we just have to, you know, look at ourselves and nobody else, and try and figure out why we just left our shooting boots at home in the day, and it's something we just have to rectify for this week.
And what was the feeling among the girls afterwards? Were they down?
Ah, they were gutted. They were devastated. You know, we knew going into the weekend that, you know, a repeat pairing like that is always very dangerous, and you know, there was never going to be any lack of motivation on Tyrone's behalf. And you know, and they came out and they fought tooth and nail for everything, and they made life very difficult for us. They pressed us all over the field, and you know, and we're very smart as well in how they done it. And you know, you've got to take your hat off and just acknowledge when you're beaten on the day by a better team, and that's what happened to us. You know, yeah, of course the 3 week break probably wasn't ideal, but look, that's the way it is. That's, you know, we knew that was going to be the case. It wasn't something that was, you know, sprung on us. And look, an awful lot, I suppose, has been written about the Ulster final and the manner of the victory, and you know, there's a wee bit of hype comes with that and a wee bit of expectation, and you know, when we have a lot of young girls and experienced girls, and maybe they didn't deal with that as well. And look, as they say, the pat in the back's only a foot away from the kick somewhere else, and that's what we got on Saturday. And as I say, we're just very fortunate we have a chance to make amends. You know, we're halfway through to where it's at half time and we're 4 points down, and that's the way we're looking at it, and we just got to come out swinging now the next day.
And it is 4 points you need, because what, the Mayo are on plus three, Tyrone are on zero, and you're on minus three.
On minus three, yeah. So it's a look, a two point victory. A 2 point victory, 1 point victory, draw, defeat, and we're gone. As simple as that. If we win by three, we go into a playoff scenario that nobody's really sure how that'll play out. You know, they talk about two games during the week, Wednesday and Sunday, to sort that out. But look, it's very clear for us. We just got to go and win the game by 4 points. We're starting 4 points down. It's as simple as that. And you know, it's well within our reach. We have the scoring power in the forwards to do it. You know, at the end of the day, if we can't beat Mayo, you know, we'd have known to blame it ourselves, and that's the way we're looking at it.
And it's a big game for Mayo too, because it's a winner takes all.
It is a winner takes all. You know, Mayo probably thought, having gone to Oma and got the 2 points, that was them through. But now that's not the case. But look, Mayo will hold no fear of us either. You know, the two of us are in a very similar position. We're probably sitting around 4, 5, 6 there in the country, behind the Galways, Dublins, and Corks, and you know, ourselves, Mayo, over some great tussles over the last, you know, 18 months, and there's been very little between the teams. And you know, they also possess a very powerful forward unit, and likewise, they've lost an awful lot of players over the last 12 months, so you know, they're somewhat in transition as well, and they're trying to find new players with a lot of inexperience. So listen, it's set up really nicely. I think they're two teams that are very evenly balanced, and you know, with very similar strengths and very similar weaknesses. And as I say, it's definitely going to be a close run affair.
I noticed in their game against Tyrone, they were, I think, lucky enough to beat Tyrone, actually. Tyrone missed quite a lot of chances against them as well, but their full forward, Rachel Cairns, she scored something like 2-3. Grace Kelly, the corner forward, scored 1-3, and Sierra Rowe scored 4 points, the other corner forward. So, what, 3-14, I think, out of 3-15 was scored by the full forward.
Yeah, look, as I say, they're a very potent forward line, and you know, they're a very physical, aggressive team, you know, well conditioned, big, strong girls, and probably maybe would have the edge on us physically. But look, you know, they shot the lights out at home on that day, and the replay against Galway and Connacht, you know, that same full forward line only scored a point between them. So, you know, ladies football is like that. You know, there's days it goes for you, and you know, there doesn't seem to be in between us. Either you're either on it or you're not, and there's no middle gear. And unfortunately for Tyrone that day, their full forward line was at it. But look, as you say, Tyrone has had some brilliant chances that day. They missed 3 1-on-1 with the keeper, and had they went in, you know, the writing was definitely on the wall for Mayo. But as you say, look, that's the nature of ladies football. That's the importance of goals in ladies football. You know, things can swing very quickly on a goal or a mistake, or you know, a player losing their confidence, whether it be a goalkeeper or a full back, you know, when they're taking a kick or whatever the case may be. So it's a look, nobody can predict how this one's going to go. But as I say, for us, we're in a good position, and insofar as we know what we have to do, we know that our season's hanging on it. You know, we don't get the 4 point victory on Saturday, our season's over, and you know, and that'd be a huge disappointment considering, you know, all the good work we've done and where we've came from this year. But look, that's the reality.
That knowing what you have to do brings added pressure, doesn't it? You know, certainly 4 points, you know, a win is a win, 1 or 2 points, but on this occasion you have to get the magical four.
You do have to get the magical four, but look, you know, we don't have to look too far in sporting history to see a remarkable comeback. You know, it happened to be, you know, at the Liverpool-Barcelona game early in the year, and who would have given Liverpool the chance of, you know, coming from 3-0 down against a team like Barcelona, and, you know, and they just went at it, they just believed they could, and they just tore at them, and I think, you know, that's just what we have to do. You know, there's nobody in any doubt that we haven't got the tools to beat Mayo. There's no doubt about that. We definitely have. It's just, you know, the scoreline is relevant. See, we're looking at, we're 4 points down and before the game starts, and we've just got to win the game from there.
In terms of fitness-wise, have you got everybody?
Yeah, we do. Look, there's definitely a couple of niggles, and there are a number of people who will not be going at full throttle. But, you know, this time of year, people make miraculous recoveries in short spaces of time. Everybody wants to play. These are the, you know, these are the games that that you train for. These are the games that people come into squads for to be part of. And it's a brilliant occasion. You know, the backs of the wall, and you know, as everybody knows that their season's on the line here. So you know, nobody wants to step away. Everybody wants to put their hand up and, you know, make themselves available to play. And we'll be picking from a full strength squad from that perspective. But I say, whether everybody's at 100% or not, we'll have to see in the next couple of weeks.
Tell me, can we expect changes? I know you made a couple of changes from the Ulster final. to last Saturday. Can we make super changes this weekend?
Yeah, well, look, you know, we make a couple of changes every day. You know, it's not just by a matter of protocol we make changes. We just look at the opposition and we try and match up as best we can. And, you know, we felt that the team we went with the last day was the right formula. And, you know, we... a lot of our individual jobs don't, you know, worked out very well. Niamh Carrigan had a very good game, and Niamh Hughes was a big player for them. And, you know, Niamh Boyle had done a great job, and Emma Jean Gervin, they were two of the, you know, the better players and more influential players in the first day we played them. You know, they, like, Tyrone scored 3-12, but the three goals were, you know, were all avoidable, and they say very disciplined was to concede, you know, the 6 or 7 frees that, again, were, you know, we felt were dubious, and ones that we weren't getting at the other end. So, you know, defensively we done quite well, and our matchups done, you know, were grand. But listen, it was just this, you know, much vaunted forward line of ours that you know, they just misfired on the day, and that's the reason we were beat. As I say, we had 16, you know, really good scoring opportunities that that we got nothing out of. And, you know, if you even took a quarter of them, we would have won the game. So that's where it's at, and it's not about, you know, wholesale changes at this stage. You know, very important you don't, as I say, throw the baby out with the bathwater. And you know, we'll not be doing that. We'll just sit down, we'll see where we felt those scoring opportunities went awry, and we'll work on that, and then we'll pick the personnel to suit what we feel is the best approach to beat Mayo.
That's Donegal manager Maxi Curran speaking to me earlier this evening ahead of training. Of course, Donegal fighting for that survival next weekend, or next Saturday in Tullamore, when they face Mayo in a winner-takes-all tie. Donegal need to win that game. I think a draw will do Mayo, but or a 2-point defeat. But the, as Mackie says, the magical number for Donegal is a four-point winning margin. Everybody fit and well, he feels they're capable of doing so, and a funny feeling that the girls, well, maybe they'll be all fired up after last weekend to make up for that defeat to Tyrone, who thoroughly deserved the win on the day. Other games in the race for the Ladies All-Ireland Senior Championship title, defending champions Dublin are at home to Monaghan. Armagh are playing Monaghan. Armagh face Cork, and Kerry face Westmeath. So quite a lot of football to be played in the ladies. But we're going to go for a short commercial break, and when we come back, we'll be joined by Brian McAniff, the former Donegal All-Ireland winning manager, and Fry Barry O'Shea, an All-Ireland winning fullback with Kerry way back in 1987. And Brian will reflect on last Sunday's meeting of Donegal and Kerry in that All-Ireland second round quarter-final qualifier in Croke Park. It ended, as everybody knows by now, in a thrilling 120 each draw. Michael Murphy scoring the equalising point with the last kick of the game. A thrilling game, much heard about, much talked about, and I know of reading Brian's column in the Donegal Democrat People's Press yesterday, he was pretty enthused by it. We'll see as that enthusiasm anyway waned since Sunday night, but for now we're just going for a short break.
The GAA programme with Tom Comack. Brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure, Station Roundabout, Letterkenny. Gear up for the next big game from the great range of clubwear at michaelmurphysports.ie.
GAA Vigas Falcher, Ashkaji and Clara, Kamaluk, Craskin, and Shockton Show with me, Tom Comack, as always with you here on a Wednesday night until 9 o'clock. Before the break there, we heard from Donegal Ladies manager Maxi Curran on... Their task this weekend, of course, they're playing Mayo in that final qualifier game, and it's a must-win game for Donegal. Well, now I'm delighted to say I'm going to be joined by Barry O'Shea from Kerry and Brian McAniff from, of course, no stranger to us here in Donegal, to reflect on last Sunday's big game in Croke Park. Of course, it ended in the draw. Kerry and Donegal 120 each in that particular game, and much heralded about afterwards. As I said, I'm joined now by Barry O'Shea from Kerry. I'm just lining up Brian McAniff. He'll be with us in a moment. But Barry, we'll go to you first, obviously. Well, what's the reaction? First of all, you're very welcome to the programme tonight. What's the reaction to that game, that result down in Kerry, and the game itself?
Thank you, Tom. I read some of the media afterwards that it was a fantastic game, and some of the good analysts in Kerry would say that they thought it was an error-strewn game and there was a lot of mistakes in it. But I suppose from a media point of view, maybe, and from an enjoyment point of view, it was a very entertaining game. But I think both teams would go out of the game in the cold light of day, when the analysis and the modern football, there's a lot of video analysis. They probably say, you know, guys, we made a lot of mistakes here. You know, so I think, I don't think it was perfect by any means by either team. I think both teams probably were delighted with a draw in the end. But look, it was very entertaining, but some great scores from both teams. You know, 120, whatever it was, and serious football in certain aspects of it. But I think the way football is nowadays, it's all analysed and it's all broken down into different features, defensive and attack and midfield, and maybe they might be saying, you know, it wasn't as good as we thought.
Yeah, and tell me in terms of Kerry, from a Kerry perspective, I know when we spoke last week ahead of the game on the Saturday programme, you felt it was a game that Donegal and Kerry were going to find out for once this season where they stood. Are you happy they're any more advanced on answering that question?
Yeah, I think both teams will probably come out of it thinking they're actually going okay. But look, the old problem at the moment is we all wonder, is it good enough to beat Dublin? So, you know, that's the niggling doubt that's there still, and it's still there after last Sunday. So even though both teams probably are going okay, are they good enough to take down the Dubs going for 5-0? We don't know.
Yeah. What's the hunch?
The hunch is I don't think so. But I do think, though, that both teams will improve from that game. And the whole provincial thing is very different, because Donegal and Kerry, obviously, you go into games with different, you know, little kind of grudge matches and different history between teams. Whereas you come out of that provincial thing, you come into the Super 8s, you're playing a different type of football. And I think both teams would have learned different things about, you know, their different aspects of their game in the last few games. So I think both teams will definitely improve a lot from it. So, look, we don't know at the moment, but Dublin do look that step ahead.
And tell me, Barry, what did you make of Donegal?
Well, Donegal are good. You know, they've got some serious footballers. They've got three or four really, really good players. They've got great leaders. They've probably got guys at the right age to be leaders that probably Kerry at the moment are probably lacking. And that's why probably, you know, we would say David Moran was a big loss, because he's at that age where he can be a leader. But look, Donegal were missing players too on the day. So, and, you know, relatively early in the game, they were, a couple of their players went away with injuries, black cards, different things. And by the way, that black card for the Donegal player was extremely harsh. But Donegal are a good team. They've good footballers. They've got good leaders. So I think, look, I'm repeating myself a small, but they will improve dramatically from that game. I think that game was better than a month's training for both teams.
And tell me, as you mentioned, Donegal missing quite a few players. You know, you probably played on teams that were hit with injuries, you know, and key players. How does that affect a team? You know, how do you overcome that? How did Donegal, do you feel, overcome that last week?
It doesn't, in lots of ways. You know, guys are so focused, especially nowadays. I think maybe one time it might have affected teams more, but I think the modern GA player, they're very, very professional. They're prepared so professionally. You know, the team is picked, and it's not a cliche to say that, like, the 26 is so important. It's a panel game. It's a squad game. And whoever's playing, they'll just go out. No, if Michael Murphy was missing, that would be different, you know, because he is a real leader. And if Michael doesn't even play well, he'll still take Mark, and he'll take two or three players away out of the game. So, you know, I think the way the football is gone, it's so technical, it's so analysed, the squads are so strong that in certain ways, missing a few players doesn't make that much of a difference unless they're absolutely replaceable, a.k.a. a Michael Murphy, you know. But otherwise, I think most guys are replaceable, and that's why the Dublin squad at the moment looks so good, because very difficult to see what player isn't replaceable by them, maybe apart from a Stephen Cluxton or a Brian Fenton.
And that's the voice of Barry O'Shea there. Former Kerry All-Ireland winning fullback. We're reflecting on that big game between Donegal and Kerry on Sunday. We're just having some difficulty getting through to Brian McAniff at the moment. Hopefully we get him before 9 o'clock. Tell me, overall, looking at the race, did you get a chance to see Tyrone at all?
Oh, I did, yes. Yeah, I saw Tyrone. Tyrone have reverted back to their defensive game, attacking you on the break. they probably don't look as impressive this year as they did last year, but that's probably, you know, doesn't really mean a whole lot because that's the way Tyrone play at the moment. They're still scoring, even though they probably look like a defensive team, they're still scoring pretty freely. They're scoring, you know, probably 20 points a game. So, you know, Tyrone are going to be hard to beat, and we're hoping in Kerry anyway that we're going to top the group, and then it looks like we're going to be playing Tyrone a semi-final, and we know, and you know, Tyrone are not going to be easily beaten, and they're the type of team as well that they seem to improve as the year goes on, and this backdoor system and the Super 8 system has probably suited them over the years, you know.
Yeah, and you've had your difficulties with Tyrone in recent years, but I think you lay that myth, was it last year or the year before?
We did, but look, that Tyrone team that gave us trouble was an exceptional Tyrone team. None of those players are still playing with that Tyrone team at the moment, and similar to the Kerry team, there's none of the Kerry guys playing either. They were two very, very good teams at the time, you know, going toe-to-toe, and we came out the wrong side of it a few times, but I don't think there was any shame in that, because I think history will show that they were a really, really good team. You know, but look, at the moment we have a team that are going for 5 in a row, and I think it's kind of sad really that the championship is being based on Dublin. If you took Dublin away from the championship, you'd probably say, look, it would be a serious championship, because who's going to win the All-Ireland now? If you took Dublin out of it, it would be anyone's call, you know.
Yeah. And tell me, obviously, Kerry heading to Westmeath next weekend, or to Meath the next weekend, to Navan to play Meath in the final game. General consensus is they're going to take that one. Would there be a fear maybe of a little bit of complacency?
Well, I don't think it's actually going to be as easy as a lot of people are saying, because Meath are out of the competition. They've nothing to play for. They're playing at home. They're a very, very proud traditional county. They've got a bit of heart. They've got some good players. I don't think it'll be as easy as people say. You know, look, any win at all will do, Kerry, and probably any win will be enough, because I think Donegal will beat Mayo too, but I think it'll probably come down to the point difference in the end, and hopefully Kerry will just have enough to stay top.
You think Donegal are good enough to beat Mayo?
I think they are, yeah. I think they have a lot of good players in a lot of key positions. They've got a lot more youth than Mayo. They've got some good forwards. Just generally, they're a well-coached team. I think they'll be good enough to beat Mayo, even though, look, I've had great respect for Mayo over the last number of years. But they just look like a team that the legs are starting to go, and how often can you go to the well? And I know we've said this about them in the past, and they've come back and thrown it in their face, but I think at the moment it just looks like maybe they're just waning that little bit.
Thank you for joining us. We'll talk to you again maybe ahead of the All-Ireland one for the meeting of Donegal and Kerry.
Well, hopefully, Tom, that'll be great. We'll all be delighted with that.
That's the great. Thank you indeed for joining us, Barry O'Shea. They're joining us from the Kingdom, and I'm delighted to say we have finally caught up with Brian McAniff. We've only got a few minutes left. Brian, I know from reading your column in the Democrat and the People's Press, you were highly impressed with Donegal. Barry O'Shea was on there. He feels that Donegal are capable of beating Mayo. What do you think?
We'll have a work cut out, Tom. Let's be fair about it. People are inclined to forget that Mayo won the National League. They've been crippled with injuries from the start of the Connacht Championship, but they're getting their side back together again. Now, they're an older team, but their defence is quite good. They've a relatively solid midfield, but up front, they're not getting enough scores for the amount of ball that's been transferred up. So, in that respect, we have a very good chance. But in saying that, it will not be easy to go into Castlebar and get a victory. But we have the talent, and if we can get the players back, I see no reason why we can't come out with a good result, Tom.
And of course, we have great memories of the last time we went to play a playoff game in Castlebar.
Yes, it was one of those great days, no more than last Sunday. You know, you look back and maybe you come up with 5 or 6 great displays in the past from Donegal, but it was one of the very special ones. But we have good memories from I hope the Donegal fans will travel in number to support the team, because I know that we get good support, but we need even greater support because Mayo have huge support, Tom. And it is a definitely big help to the team when you have good support there present. Anyway, Tom, I think with the players that we have, and if Murphy and McHugh can sustain what they're playing at the moment, and a lot of other players step up to the plate, there's no reason why our younger legs should not be fit to run the show on that day in Castlebar.
Before we go, what did you make of Kerry?
Kerry have some very talented forwards, like their full forward line before the match was scary and they were still scoring quite well. But there were some great defensive displays by Donegal. But definitely at the back, there's holes, and a lot of holes at that Kerry defence. You know, we should have had two goals and we could have scored more against them. They conceded 120 to more than ourselves, but their defences.
Brian, unfortunately, we have to let you go. The clock on the wall tells us it's time to go. My wickers, though, Barry O'Shea to Brian McAniff, to Maxi Curran, and to Jimmy Stafford and Sound, Gugin Shockton to Huggin, Slán agus Bannacht.